This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Chapter 3 of the life of St. Peter the Apostle, entitled Peter in Chains. This was Imperial Rome, its gleaming palaces and marble villas, its power and its wealth.
This wickedness, is this Rome, this sin of all the world, spewing into a cesspool of iniquity? Oh, Lord Jesus, give me the strength to bring your word here, to this vile city.
The man was tall and rugged, with a long beard, a shock of wild hair about his shoulders, a volcano of fire smoldering in his two blue eyes. He found his way to the ghetto, a twisting maze of dark, narrow alleyways. Tall wooden houses rising out of sickly, evil smells that came from the fish market, the shops, and the mud banks of the river nearby. An overturned candle was enough to start a fire that would destroy an entire block within minutes. But life was cheap. Jewish life was even cheaper. The ghetto was a miserable world apart. And Peter found lodgings there with a woman, Priscilla, a convert. I knew about this woman. It was my job to find out who the Christians were, not only among the Gentiles, but among the Jews. It was my job to put the dangerous ones out of the way, for I gave allegiance to Caesar. I knew where the Jewess Priscilla lived. I knew the man called Peter had gone there to lodge.
Peter.
Hmm?
This house is being watched.
And the Lord watches over it. Stop fretting.
How long do you think you can stay here?
Till I die.
That could be sooner than you think if you're not careful.
Careful? I'll be. I'm not ready to die yet. My job's not done.
Well, somebody's watching this house, and it's not our Lord. Somebody working for the Romans.
Romans don't bother the Jews.
They bother Jews who are Christian, let me tell you. One of these days they'll raid a synagogue and pick you up while you're preaching about Christ. And that'll be the end.
Woman, you worry too much.
Well, I did warn you. Are you hungry, Peter?
If there's food in front of me, I can eat. If there's no food, I can do without it.
There's food enough, but not kosher.
Why do you make a big story of that?
I'm not making a big story.
You sounded like one.
I'm just saying the food is not kosher.
Well.
I don't know. It's just that a lot of people around here don't like the idea.
Yeah, I didn't expect them to.
I get insulted every time I go out. Here in the ghetto, mind you.
Ghetto itself is an insult.
I'm talking about the people in it. They ask me a lot of questions, and I don't know how to answer them, except to call them worse names than they call me.
What do they ask you?
I say to them, I am a Christian now, and I won't eat the food of our fathers. They ask me why not, and I don't know what to say.
I never told you what to say.
No, no, you never did. Peter, what is wrong with kosher food? Why shouldn't I eat it anymore?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not the kind of food you eat that matters. It's what you make it stand for. Is that clear?
Yes. Yes, it is clear.
I knew about this man, Peter. It was my job to know what went on in the ghetto. My job was to help maintain the law and order of Imperial Rome. And my area was the ghetto. I descended on Peter while he lodged with Priscilla and her family.
We're Jews. The ghetto is ours, and we are not to be bothered.
Hold your tongue. I'm talking to him. No, you. Answer my questions.
I will.
You're a Jew?
Born and bred.
You don't preach as one.
I preach the word of Christ.
The agitator they crucified?
The Son of God they crucified.
A troublemaker, the same as you. Even your own people talk against you.
I can't help that.
There was a fist fight in the synagogue last week while you were preaching. Jew against Jew. Is that right?
Jew against Christian.
So far as Rome is concerned, a Jew is a Jew. If he's a Jew turned Christian, then he's an enemy of the state. And a man like you who incites trouble is a disturber of the peace.
If I can disturb the peace of Rome, I'll die happy.
You'll die, don't worry. Listen. Listen to me. Get out of Rome. You and all the rest. Get out while you're still alive. There's trouble brewing for you. If you stay here, you'll all be feeding the lions in the arena.
Fair warning from an enemy?
I'm not your enemy. But I have a job to do. I wouldn't like to be forced to take you away.
Are you a Christian?
No. I have a wife and family. I can't afford to be one. And I can't give you another warning. Next time I come to the ghetto, I'll have soldiers with me. And I'll be taking Jews away to prison. But the intended massacre of the Jews did not occur. Caesar, then Tiberius, rescinded the order. Nevertheless, thousands of Jews fled in terror. During these same days, Peter also left Rome to go back to Jerusalem to meet with Paul and the others.
We need you here, Peter.
Trouble?
More than I can deal with alone.
With the synagogues.
The word of Christ seems to be in conflict with the law of Moses.
Go on.
A lot of our people might accept Christianity if it could be contained within the synagogue, and if we got rid of the parts of it that don't conform to Jewish law.
We'd better call the priests and the elders together, as many others as we can get to attend a council. You agree?
It's time a council was held, and only you can preside over one. We'll call it together this week.
They came, the apostles, the few converts from among the Jews, and the elders and the priests. and Peter stood up among them.
I know most of you. Some of you knew our Lord. But all of you knew what he said. He spoke of the true law of God. I'll tell you one thing about that. Christ and his Father in heaven are one. Christ is God. God is Christ. And this is a mystery we are not expected to understand. If we could understand, we would be as God himself. And we're not. We're just men put on earth by him. You speak of the laws of Moses and Abraham, who are only men as we are. But I speak of the laws of Christ, our Lord and God. Our forefathers believed our sins could be washed away in the blood of goats or bulls. But I tell you, our sins can only be washed away in the blood of our Lord. Unless you believe this, you cannot be a part of our Lord's church. There's only one church, his church. You may believe this or disbelieve it. The choice is yours. But your faith in him will open the gates of heaven for you.
Peter.
You're wrong. The church was established by Christ. We carry on in his name.
And how many of us are left?
Disbelievers went away. The faithful remain.
A few.
We were even fewer once. Once we were only 12. Now we are hundreds. Thank God for the few you speak of.
I'm thinking of the rest of our people. The Gentiles are turning to Christ, but our people reject him.
And I mourn for them. I love them. I'll go on loving them, even though I say farewell to them.
Farewell?
I think I must soon go back to Rome. The seed has been planted there. I must nourish it until it takes root. I may not have much more time.
Perhaps Rome is not the place.
If it were not, our Lord would have told me otherwise.
Peter was over 60 years of age when he came back to Rome. This time he did not go to the ghetto. The woman Priscilla and her family had taken over a house in that part of Rome known as the Aventine. And Peter went there. He preached in secret, and with some help composed many letters. Then one day the woman came to him trembling.
Peter.
I'm busy.
Listen to me. He is here.
Who?
Paul.
Paul? Here in Rome?
They've brought him here to put him in prison.
Go on. See what you can find out.
The Apostle Paul came before me. This because he was registered as a Jew. What are you accused of?
I don't know.
You displeased someone or committed some crime?
I displeased a good many in Palestine.
Then why weren't you executed there?
I have work to do. I was obliged to claim Roman citizenship, and so they sent me here in chains.
The chains can be taken off. I see no serious charge against you. But there may be one. So I'll have to put you in jail.
I've been in jail before. We all have.
We?
and a follower of Christ.
Oh. Well, if you behave, you can have visitors. And you can go for a walk sometimes with a god. That's all. You can go now.
Peter, he is in jail, but he can have visitors and can go for walks.
I can't see him in jail. They'd arrest me, too. We'll find out when he goes for his walks. I'll find a chance to talk to him.
A small bribe to one of the guards, and Peter was able to spend odd times with Paul.
You and I, Paul, and the rest of us, we've got to die soon. But the church will not die with us.
No. It's who comes after you that's important. Our Lord chose you. After all, you're his vicar on earth.
I've thought about that, too. He gave us authority. We must pass that authority on.
To those who come after you. To the ones who must preside over the church in the years to come.
Peter demonstrated the full teaching that was given him by Christ. He was the leader among the 12. The epistles he wrote were the first encyclicals of the church. As vicar of Christ, he spoke and wrote in the name of his Lord and Master, and with the fullness of divine authority. During these days, Paul was released from prison, and he set off on another mission for souls. But for Peter, time was running out.
What is it? I'm here.
Peter, we've got to get away.
Smoke. I smell smoke.
The Circus Maximus has caught fire. It's spreading. We've got to get across the river. Come, Peter.
Rome was burning. Crowds poured through the streets and alleyways, trampling one another to death, screaming as the flames overtook them or as they drowned in the river. For 9 days and nights the city burned. Some said Nero, who was then Caesar, caused the fire, and the fury of the mob was turned against him, and orders were not slow in coming to men like me who served him. We were sent out into the mobs to preach hatred against the Christians.
Citizens of Rome, hail Caesar and curse the enemies of Rome who started the fire. Hear me. Hear me and what I have to say. I remind you, who has prophesied the destruction of Rome? The Christians. Then who caused the fire? The Christians. So death to the Christians. Seek them out wherever you find them and put them to death. The Christians to the lions!
So the mob turned from Nero and turned on the Christians. Makeshift arenas were built. Wild beasts were brought in from other cities, and thousands of Christians were thrown to them. Those who survived fled to the catacombs. And Peter went among his followers, living in the darkness and in the smell of death and sickness,
for the catacombs were the graveyards of the persecuted.
Be not afraid, my children, for there is no death in Christ. Our Lord gave you a promise. The wicked may do away with your body, but they cannot harm your soul. Be of cheer, my beloved, for none of you is alone. You are in the company of angels. There is everlasting life for you.
I found out that Peter would emerge from the catacombs by day and mix with the crowds that watched the Christians being led to the arena. And he would bless them. I myself saw hundreds of them torn to pieces by wild animals, dying, but with a cry on their tormented lips, a cry that said, "The Christians will win." I did nothing about Peter until pressure was put on me. Then I had him arrested and brought to me.
You came back. Why?
Thank God I did. I can still save you.
Save me? There's blood on my hands. And your blood will be next.
Be baptized before you do away with me.
I warned you once. I gave you a chance. You're a fool to have come back.
Tell me that after you have been baptized in Jesus Christ.
I can't do that.
Are you afraid?
Yes. I am.
The Christians who die in the arena are not afraid.
I know. I hear them in my nightmares, dying with the name of Christ on their lips. And I wake up wishing I had their courage.
Their kind of courage comes from Christ. We call it grace. You can have it if you want it.
No. I may sympathize with you. Feel sorry for the ones who are being slaughtered. But I am a Roman.
Don't feel sorry for the ones who die. They go to heaven. Feel sorry for Rome. Caesar's Rome. For it dies in hell. All of you with it.
Suppose I let you baptize me. Suppose I did accept your God. Don't you know I still must put you away?
Fetch me some water, my son. Let me bless it. I'll make you a Christian. After that, you can do with me as you must.
And so I was baptized. I confessed a lifetime of sin and repented. And I sipped the wine that was the blood of Jesus and ate the bread that was his flesh. I was given the gift of grace. That night I took my family and fled with them to the catacombs, for I could no longer be a part of the wickedness of Rome. Word of who I was passed from mouth to mouth, and then the woman called Priscilla came to me in the darkness.
Where is he?
In the dungeon of Mamertine.
Oh.
I couldn't save him, but he saved me.
How long will he stay in that vile hole?
I don't know.
Until they are ready to kill him.
Until then, unless he dies in the dungeon. Peter was an important prisoner. He was held for trial, held in that black pit infested with rats and the sick and the already dead. One night in the pitch black of this terrible dungeon, another prisoner appeared.
Paul?
They told me you were here, Peter. I bless them for bringing me to the same place.
Our Lord forgave those who crucified him.
Are you in good health, Peter?
I'll live to face trial.
They'll try us. But they'll put us away.
Amen to that.
Sometimes it seemed the Romans had forgotten the two men in the dungeon, that all they could think about was their pleasures at the arena. Yet in the darkness of the catacombs, we knew that unless Peter died, the day must come when he would stand trial.